What in the world is going on between the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson? We take an updated look at a crazy and wild situation in Baltimore. We also look at the Detroit Lions and the big offseason they're having and where they stack up right now in that NFC North division. We'll also look at the Seattle Seahawks and look at the Geno Smith extension, Bobby Wagner coming back, and so much more coming up next here on this episode of Locked On NFL.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome into another edition of the Locked On NFL Podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. It is Monday, so that means you have me, Kevin Ostreicher, one of the many NFL experts here on our network. And we're free and available anywhere you get your podcast. So be sure to subscribe for free, both on YouTube in video form and wherever you get your audio podcasts, so you get the latest episodes. You can turn notifications on for when we go live. We premiere episodes here on the channel, and we're here bringing you the biggest stories around the NFL here. And I think the biggest story in the NFL right now has to be Lamar Jackson. It's just been unbelievably crazy in Baltimore, and me being the Locked On Ravens host, I'll be talking with you in this first segment about just what is going on, what in the world is going on in Baltimore right now with the Ravens and Lamar. So we'll do that in the first segment, talk about mysterious figure Ken Francis and where this situation could be heading, what resolution it could be heading towards in the coming days, weeks, months, whenever it is. In the second segment, we'll talk with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions. The Lions have had a big offseason. They're now, I think, America's team. Everybody loves them. Everybody wants to see them win. We'll talk about where they stack up in the NFC North and the moves they've made, including Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. Then in the final segment, we'll be moving on to the Seattle Seahawks and the moves they've made. They extend Geno Smith. They bring back Bobby Wagner. We'll talk with Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks about that. So again, thank you so much for being here with us today on Locked On NFL. And I'll start it off here. I'll start off by talking about Lamar Jackson here in this first segment. Now, long story short, very, very general description of what's going on is the Ravens and Lamar Jackson still have not agreed on a long-term extension. The holdup reportedly is the guaranteed money. Lamar Jackson reportedly, according to some people, wants that fully guaranteed contract. The NFLPA pushing for that fully guaranteed contract. The Ravens don't want to give him that. They don't want to give him the fully guaranteed contract. It seems like the owners don't want fully guaranteed money to become a thing. These fully guaranteed big contracts, especially quarterbacks, to become a thing. Obviously, the Deshaun Watson deal happened, Kirk Cousins, but the Watson deal, I think the owners want that to be an outlier, whereas Jackson, you know, he wants to be paid what he deserves, he's worth, and I'm not going to bash him for that. But at the same time here, this is a situation that I think has gotten so far out of hand and so far out of control in Baltimore, where I think the cherry on top, and there might be another one, because it just feels like it just gets weirder and weirder and weirder, is the NFLPA and the NFL have both had their hands in this. The NFLPA, I think, has had a very big hand in this, but the NFL put out a memo to teams saying that there's this mysterious guy named Ken Francis, and he's contacting teams on behalf of Lamar Jackson trying to negotiate a deal. And if that's happening, you can't talk to him. And if you do, there's punishment. And, you know, the offer sheet, if there's a deal, might not be recognized if it's negotiated by Ken Francis. And everyone's like, who's Ken Francis? Who is this guy? Apparently, he's a Florida man, so he tells you. And he has been working on this home gym invention. And Lamar comes out and denies that on Twitter. Ken Francis also denies it. And then Lamar drops a promotional video for a home gym, a portable gym you can take everywhere called the Entire Gym. And I'm sitting here thinking, is this the greatest publicity stunt we've seen of all time? Absolutely amazing business sense by Lamar Jackson. Maybe that was it all a setup? Was it not? Did he just use? There is so much in this, but it's just another weird and bizarre twist on a weird and bizarre situation where Lamar was given the non-exclusive franchise tag. That's a $32.4 million cap hit there. That has hindered the Ravens' ability to do a lot this offseason. We've seen teams throughout the NFL make tons of moves, improve their rosters. And the Ravens, they just signed Nelson Aguilar on Friday. That was their first outside free agent move. They released Calais Campbell. They lost guard Ben Powers, tight end Josh Oliver. They traded Chuck Clark, their safety, to the Jets. And a lot of people are getting antsy about this Ravens offseason because, again, we've seen the improvement from teams throughout the league, and the Ravens are kind of handicapped here by this situation for multiple reasons, not just the cap hit reason, but you're looking at a situation where is quarterback in need or is it not? You know, if the Ravens have this thing linger, we don't know what's going to happen quarterback wise, because let's say it's after the draft. The Ravens end up, you know, they'll trade him. Let's just say the Colts have been a team that's been constantly linked to Lamar. So let's just say they trade him to the Colts. If you trade Lamar to the Colts or the offer sheet is signed and leaves for 2 first-round picks, if that happens before the draft, you get the 4th overall pick, which you could presumably use to take a quarterback if you wanted to, and the 2024 first, which will probably be like a late 20s, mid 20s pick, because I think the Colts with Lamar are very competitive and a top contender. But if this lingers on after the draft, then Lamar signs the offer sheet with the Colts. He goes there. You're getting a 2024 first and a 2025 first, both of which are late first round picks. The draft is already passed, so you can't take a quarterback. You can't select a CJ Stroud or an Anthony Richardson or a Will Levis or a Bryce Young. So where does that leave you if you're the Ravens? Is it Tyler Huntley for a year? Are you tanking for Caleb Williams? I think the Ravens' defense is too good to have them tank for a guy like Caleb Williams. I think their defense will keep them in that 16th, 18th, 14th pick area. And to me, it's not a great situation to be in there. If Lamar signed to an extension, which I think is the best route for both sides, especially the Ravens, you can lower that first-year cap hit, maybe even second-year cap hit for Lamar, get that 32.4 fully guaranteed franchise tag cap hit down so you can make a move. You can maybe have a little bit of an easier time trading for a DeAndre Hopkins or a Cortland Sutton or a Jerry Jeudy. You can bring in, you know, a Rock Ya-Sine and re-sign a Marcus Peters. The Ravens have two glaring needs right now, and it's wide receiver and it's corner. And the Ravens signing Nelson Agholor does not move a needle for me. And it's a fine depth move. Agholor is a 4th receiver. It's fine. But if that's the only move, if that is the move and not a move, that's a problem. Because the Ravens wide receiver room as it is, you know, we heard John Harbaugh and Eric DaCosta talk about it at their NFC's a press conference, how they're going to look at that room and revamp it. Well, assuming Lamar comes back, I think you need to, because putting in DeAndre Hopkins in that new Todd Monken offense with a Rashad Bateman and Devin Duvernay and Mark Andrews there, that gives Lamar easily his best wideout room for sure, best pass catching room for sure. And Lamar has needed that. The Ravens did not go out and get Lamar and A.J. Brown on his rookie contract like the Eagles did for Jalen Hurts or Stephon Diggs like the Bills did for Josh Allen or DeAndre Hopkins or Marquise Brown like the Cardinals did for Kyler Murray. And that was a misstep. It was a misstep for the organization to do that and not prioritize that. But now at this point, the Ravens, they're in trouble a little bit because the base salary for Nelson Agholor's contract was $3.25 million up to $6.25 million. In incentives, the cap hit is right around 1-ish, 2-ish million, so it's not super big cap hit wise, but they need to clear up more cap space, and the easiest way to do that is to extend Lamar. They have other avenues to do it, but the easiest is just to extend Lamar and hope that, you know, you can get some stuff done, because as we talk now, I talked about this before for agency, teams are starting to sign these guys. Guys are going off the board pretty quickly. So you got to have something there. And if this lingers into August, there aren't going to be a lot of free agents available if the Ravens don't extend Lamar there. And then you have some issues there. So end of the day, I think Lamar still stays in Baltimore. It's very 50-50. Not a lot of people know what's going on. It's been very tight-lipped between the organization and Lamar, but it just gets messier and messier by the day. It's exhausting. It's tiring for everybody involved. So hopefully it does end soon. But coming up on our second segment here on Locked On NFL, I'll be talking a little bit about the Detroit Lions with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions, talking about Chauncey Gardner-Johnson, David Montgomery, and where the Lions rank in the NFC North conversation. So be sure to stay tuned. So lots to dive into on Locked On NFL. But first, this episode is brought to you by FanDuel, and the tournament is heating up, and there's no better place to get in on the action than FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. That's because right now, FanDuel is giving new customers no sweat first bets up to $1,000. That's the $1,000 back in bonus bets. If your first bet doesn't win, just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon and sign up today to claim your no sweat first bet. Then you can wager on everything from the money line to point spreads to which team will be cutting down the net. It's all on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. So make sure to shot on a no sweat first bet up to $1,000. When you join FanDuel today, just go to FanDuel.com/lockedon to sign up. Make every moment more of FanDuel. We're back here. Our second segment of Locked On NFL here on Monday. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you. And again, thank you so much for being here with us on Locked On NFL, making us your first listen. We just talked about Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. And for more on my work in the Ravens and Lamar, be sure to check out the Locked On Ravens podcast, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. But now let's move over to the NFC, move over to Detroit with Matt Derry of Locked On Lions, where we talk about this team and just where they could be in that NFC North pecking order, because it seems like it could be their division for the taking. So let's talk about that now. Well, the Detroit Lions have had quite the busy offseason over the course of these past couple of weeks. Here to talk about that with me is Matt Dury, the host over at Locked On Lions. And Matt, when you talk about this Lions team, I know it's been many, many years, tough years for Lions and their fans and their faithful. But last year, I think, provided a sense of excitement, a sense of hope for the future. And I think this offseason has furthered that with the additions of guys like Chauncey Gardner-Johnson. They bring in David Montgomery and a couple other really solid guys like Cam Sutton. I mean, did you expect the Lions to be this busy this offseason?
Yeah, Kev, I mean, I knew that they would have some decisions to make on their own guys, but really Brad Holmes, the general manager the first 2 years, and I thought he'd be consistent going into year three here, would be to kind of, you know, play the market in a smart way with caution, not really offer any big contracts, and really, to be honest, there have been some home runs here, but a lot of them are one-year deals. You mentioned the Chauncey Gardner-Johnson move. That's a one-year deal. Alex Anzalone got re-signed for multiple years. The Cam Sutton move was 3 years. There weren't any signings that just wowed you and you went crazy about a four-year deal, a five-year deal, hundreds of millions of dollars. But there were some home runs here, and all of a sudden the Lions have a formidable secondary, and you had three free agents in the secondary. Sutton, Mosley, and Johnson, all corners, really, although CJ could play safety as well. You've remade your entire secondary and re-signed Will Harris, and you've got Jeff Okuda and Jerry Jacobs back, and Walker and Kirby Joseph. So it's a secondary that's a total remake, and, man, people are excited here. They knew the defense needed help, and they got it.
Yeah, and do you think there could be anything else on the horizon? I know the free agent pool is kind of drying up at this stage. People are waiting for the draft, waiting for, I guess, the next round of cuts to potentially happen. Where are the other needs you think Detroit needs to address in the next couple of months?
Well, there's that national narrative. Mike Florio has done this. A few others have done this where they say, what about Lamar Jackson to the Lions? Why wouldn't they do this? What about an upgrade? Why? Why would you possibly mess with the chemistry and really the bond that is going on between Jared Goff, who now will enter his third year with the Lions, and offensive coordinator Ben Johnson? Those guys had immense amounts of success last year, and Goff is a leader. He loves being here. He's under contract for two more years. Why mess with the apple cart and do something like that? So I don't see any big move like that there. I believe a veteran receiver will come in. DJ Chark is now a Carolina Panther. Or a Carolina Lion, as I like to call them, because they've just plucked so many people away from Detroit, both on the coaching staff and players. I think they're going to find another receiver, probably on a bargain deal. I would anticipate maybe another tight end in the mix. And then I think in the draft, they're going to definitely address defensive tackle, maybe another edge. Maybe they could go corner, but now at 6-18 with two picks in the first round and with everybody picking them to win the division right now, before we even get to the draft, Kev, I think they really like where this roster is, and there could be some luxury picks there when they get to draft day.
Yeah, and I know there's been some change with bringing in some guys, but also there has been some guys who have left over the past couple of weeks here, Matt. Who do you think they're going to miss the most? I mean, guys like Deshaun Elliott, Jamal Williams, obviously a fan, an NFL favorite at this point, Chris Board, also guys like a Mike Hughes and a DJ Chark, as you talked about. Do you think any of those guys, it's a massive, massive loss for this team?
No, actually I don't. And that's unlike me, because if you've heard me for the last 7 years do this podcast, it's usually, oh my gosh, the Lions have overplayed their hand, or the Lions screwed this up. And look, they've won one playoff game in the last 60 some odd years. So there's a history of buffoonery, but to be quite honest, the guys that they handpicked to bring back, they got on bargain deals. Romeo Okwara is going to come back on a pay cut. Charles Harris is coming back on a pay cut. Vitae, pay cut. They re-sign Alex Anzalone because they really like him. Jamison Williams is going to get an opportunity here at that starting X receiver to really shine and get that chance. And I think they'll add another receiver. You know, Josh Woods is a guy that I really think they'll miss on special teams, but he's a backup linebacker. So, and the Jamal Williams situation you mentioned is interesting, but they feel like they've upgraded with David Montgomery, offering him the same money they offered Williams, and a guy 2 years younger who's got more of a track record than Jamal as a starter. Takes that contract. So they feel like they've upgraded at running back. And like I said, they feel really, really good where they are right now.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jared Goff, you know, the why would they mess with the chemistry? Chemistry is a huge thing, and Detroit definitely has tons of it right now. How confident are you, Matt, that he can be the guy long-term for Detroit moving forward.
As long as they keep this sort of, how do I want to say it? Just sort of mantra in place of running the football, being tough, building along the offensive line, which they've done. I think Jared Goff is fine. If you tell me in week five, though, that Frank Ragnow gets hurt, Jonah Jackson gets hurt, or Sewell or Decker, and you go, uh-oh, backups have to play along the O-line, then we're talking trouble. Jared Goff needs to be protected. He doesn't move very well. We know that. He doesn't run like Lamar Jackson or Justin Fields or anybody like that. But I think they really like what he's done. And he's not old. Jared Goff is still in his 20s. He's been to a Super Bowl. Nearly took this team to the playoffs last year. Outplayed Aaron Rodgers in not one but two games a year ago when the Lions beat the Packers and swept them. So he's the guy. The question's going to be, Kev, after this year, will they extend him and pay him the money that all these other quarterbacks are getting? Or what about the draft this year? Could they take a draft and stash quarterback at six, like a Richardson or a Levis, and people go, oh my gosh, but I don't think they're going to do it. I think they don't want to mess with anything chemistry-wise. I think they want to hand the keys and continue to hand the keys to Goff. Do I think they'll take a quarterback maybe in the middle rounds as a developmental guy? I do think they could do that.
Right, and you know, you talked about the people picking Detroit right now to win the NFC North, and you look around the division, just a quick rundown of it. The Green Bay's obviously going through with Aaron Rodgers. Seems like it'll be Jordan Love at the helm for them next year. Chicago, they're building up their roster, but they're still probably a couple years away at this point. Minnesota feels like the only challenger right now to Detroit. And right now the jury's kind of, I guess, still out on them. What happens with Dalvin Cook, et cetera. So Matt, my question to you is, do you think Detroit right now is gearing up to take over the NFC North for the next couple of seasons?
I do. And look, there's going to be a bullseye in their backs. Everybody's picking them. You and I talked about it before we hit record here. They are America's team. It's a chic pick. I believe Vegas has them over under at 9.5 wins. A year ago, it was at six. And before that, the year before that, they only won three games. So they just seem to have something special building. They've kept a lot of their guys. They continue to build along the offensive and defensive lines. Something that I think you could question with Minnesota with all the moves they've had to make to get below the salary cap. I still like Green Bay. I don't know what Jordan Love is, and I think that will be interesting to see. And the Bears, yes, while everybody's kind of telling us about Chef Poles and Chef Poles is cooking, Chef Ryan, give me a break. The Bears are not ready yet. I do think the Lions have a chance to win this thing. You take Kendricks away from Minnesota and others. A guy's leaving. I think that hurts them. They won a lot of close games last year that I don't think they're going to win again this year. So, I think it is the Lions' time. But how will they handle having a bullseye on their backs and having teams actually go in preparing for them as opposed to just thinking they were going to be a walkthrough, which they've been for the last handful of years?
Big shout out to Matt for hopping on with me. And again, if you want to follow along with the Lions and Matt's work, be sure to check out the Locked On Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Coming up, though, in our final segment, we'll be talking a bit about those Seattle Seahawks with Corbin Smith of Locked On Seahawks, Geno Smith, Bobby Wagner, where the Seahawks rank in the NFC debate, and so much more coming up next year. We return here to our final segment of Locked On NFL. Kevin Ostreicher still here with you on this Monday edition. Thank you so much again for being here. And now we're going to move into the Seahawks conversation. Corbin Smith of Locked On NFL. The Seahawks had a surprising year last year, surprised everybody. Geno Smith, he gets rewarded with that extension. They bring back Bobby Wagner. A lot of Seahawks storylines. We'll get into with Corbin right now. Well, the Seattle Seahawks made some big headlines this weekend, bringing back one of the former members of the Legion of Boom and Bobby Wagner. And here to talk about that and more with me is Corbin Smith, the host over at Locked On Seahawks. And Corbin, I know at this point last year, Bobby Wagner getting ready to become a member of the Los Angeles Rams after leaving Seattle. And I know there was a little bit of bad blood, but not ended up getting cleared up in the end. And it really did because Bobby Wagner's back, signs with Seattle again. Did you think if I had said to you a year ago, yeah, Corbin, Bobby Wagner's going to Los Angeles, but he's coming back next year, would you believe me?
No, I wouldn't have. Just simply because when Wagner departed, John Schneider and Pete Carroll were not the ones that informed him he was going to be released. He found out on social media, and he's his own agent. So he went right to Twitter and was basically calling them out. And John Schneider and Pete Carroll, to their credit, they came out shortly after the release happened, and they were clearly, it was genuine regret for the way things played out. they did not want to do that with Bobby Wagner. From what I've been told, if they wouldn't have had to trade Russell Wilson and eat a $26 million dead cap hit, Bobby Wagner is not released last offseason anyway. They had to do it because they needed cap space to build their team because of that cap hit from Russell Wilson, and he was the big contract on their books. And so the chance to get him back now, when it broke last month that the Rams were going to be parting ways with him, I thought there was a very good chance he would be back, because he and Pete Carroll last year, after one of the Rams-Seahawks matchups, they met up in the locker room after the game. And so you already could see them mending the bridges. And I just thought there's a really good chance his teammates want him back. We had Quandre Diggs on our show, and he was saying, hey, this is mutual. Seahawks want him back. He wants to come back. They just had to figure out the money and ended up coming up with a one-year, $7 million deal, which is a great value for a guy that still showed last year he is still a dominant player, middle linebacker, and it fills what I believe was the biggest hole on Seattle's defense with Jordan Brooks still recovering from a torn ACL.
Right, and coming off of a year that I think surprised a lot of people, especially with the quarterback situation and Geno Smith, to add a guy like Bobby Wagner back to the middle of that defense is an exceptional get for Seattle. But speaking of Smith, Corbin, Seattle rewarded him with a massive deal right before free agency started. Do you think that this was a good deal overall? Can you get into the specifics of that contract and what Seattle did with the money there?
It's as team-friendly of a quarterback deal as you're going to find for a player that was a Pro Bowler last year. And the thing is, Geno Smith is betting on himself right now. He's continuing to do that, and he's confident in his ability. A good chunk of this contract is escalators. 30 million of it is escalators that he has to hit certain marks that he had last year to be able to get that money. And he signed it willingly because he believes in this offense with the weapons they've got that he's just going to get better. You have to remember, he has not played a lot of football in the NFL. He was a starter for 2 years with the Jets and then for 7 years with the backup. Even though he's 32, he has not started a lot of games. He is a young 32, and this will be the first time in years that he's going to be in the same offense for two straight seasons, actually three straight years, but 2 years as a starter. And so he believes that he is going to be able to hit those escalators, and then he's going to make a lot of money. The Seahawks are saying, hey, we are willing to pay you that, but you need to put the stats and you need to get us to the playoffs and we need to compete for championship. And he believes he can do it. And so, yeah, there's been talk about the Seahawks drafting a quarterback. They could still very well do that because they haven't picked this early in the draft in a long, long time. But at the same time, they gave this contract to Geno Smith. It gave him flexibility this year to be able to build around him, bigger cap hits the next 2 years. But if he earns the money and plays like a top five, top 10 quarterback, they will gladly pay the toll for that.
Yeah, and Smith, one of the better stories of last season based off how he performed. But let's move back over to defense, Corbin. Seattle's undergone a bit of a defensive line shuffle this offseason, bringing in talent. Draymond Jones coming in on a big deal. Jaron Reed as well coming back to Seattle. And then you have a couple of guys still unrestricted free agents or gone elsewhere. Shelby Harris gets released. What do you make of the additions and subtractions on that unit?
I think the first big thing is that the defensive line is truly a work in progress. And it was telling to me the moves that have been made, releasing Shelby Harris, releasing Quentin Jefferson, most recently Al Woods, Puna Ford, it was a unrestricted free agent. None of those guys are on new teams right now. And Seattle ranked 31st against the run last year. Their run defense was abysmal. Now, Al Woods has only been on the market a few days, so we're going to give him a little bit of a benefit of the doubt here, but the other players still being available, it kind of reflects the rest of the league looks at Seattle's defensive line and thinks, you know what, that was not a good group. We're not going to be paying big bucks to get any of those guys and bring them in. Maybe Seattle brings some of those players back at a cheaper price later in the offseason. It's very possible, but even with Draymond Jones and Jaron Reed coming back, those two players are really nice additions, but they need to add bodies there through free agency in the draft. That is still the big question mark. But you got Bobby Wagner back in the middle. Devin Bush coming from the Steelers. Not great the last couple of years, but he's only 24. He was really good as a rookie. The Seahawks are hoping on a prove-it deal that learning from Bobby Wagner that he can rediscover his form from his rookie year, former top 10 pick. And then in the secondary, you've got Tariq Woolen, who almost won Rookie of the Year last year, and he's still trying to figure out what he's doing at corner. Like, his ceiling is beyond the clouds. And across from him, you're going to have Mike Jackson or Trey Brown, and you're hoping you're going to have a healthy Jamal Adams back with Quandre Diggs. If not, you sign Julian Love from the Giants, who's got starting experience, is a very good football player, and Ryan Neal's going to be back. So there feels like there's a lot of pieces there, but the defensive line, maybe getting a young linebacker in the draft to go with Bobby Wagner and Devin Bush, Jordan Brooks is going to be back eventually healthy. There are some question marks there, the defensive line being the biggest one in the interior. They need to continue adding to that group and getting players that fit the scheme they're running.
Yeah, and still opportunities to do that. But when you're talking about the NFC, Corbin, a lot of people regard it, at least compared to the AFC, especially quarterback-wise, as a pretty weak conference, all things considered. Obviously, the Eagles did what they did last year. People are high on San Francisco. But Seattle, I think, has a real chance to make some noise in this conference this year. Where do you kind of see them in this NFC pecking order right now?
Right now, I still see them as kind of that fringe playoff contender because there are the question marks along the defensive line, particularly in the interior. Is that run defense going to be able to take that step forward they need to be able to compete in the conference, not just be a playoff team? But they have 10 draft picks, including four in the top 52. They have the number 5 pick. They have 2 first rounders. They have the draft ammo. If they can come anywhere close to what they did with last year's draft class and bring in instant contributors, especially in that defensive line, with some of the additions they've made in free agency, the upgrade at center, I think Evan Brown is going to be an upgrade at that position. They might even draft a player still at that position to compete against Evan Brown with all the draft picks they have. This is a team that after the draft, there might be a much different viewpoint. Right now, it still feels like there are a number of pieces that are missing, but with the young talent they've got, with Geno Smith being signed, Ken Walker III in the backfield, the weapons they've got on the outside, the secondary talent they've got, when healthy, this team has the upside to be a top 3, top 4 team. And if you add a few quality rookies that really are able to make a difference immediately with the additions they've made and the quarterback situation in the conference, then this team could be a scary team in the NFC West and maybe compete with the Philadelphia Eagles and the 49ers to get to the Super Bowl next year. There's just some things they have to get done here to finish up the offseason to really reach that point.
Corbin does great work on the Seahawks. Be sure to follow along with his work. And, of course, the Seahawks on the Locked On Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day, and we are waiting to see what the Seattle team could be like. I feel like they could make some noise, plenty of room for Seattle to still improve here, but definitely need still for Seattle to address. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On NFL. Thank you so much for being here and tuning in with us again. When we get back here tomorrow, it is more NFL content with your Tuesday host. So be sure to stay tuned for that, and we'll see you right back here tomorrow.